Good morning. Wow, I can't believe how beautiful it is out there, but it should be. It's the beginning of June, right? So, we're now joined by Leo Choquette. Of course, Leo represents Ward 1, and he's been heavily involved in this dispute with the mayor about closing down Station 9, which offers a tremendous amount of fire coverage, fire protection to Ward 1 and Ward 2. Leo, of course, represents Ward 1, and it's budget season, but he's been in clashing with the mayor, talking with the mayor, trying to talk with his staff about saving the fire station that represents the fire coverage for a good part of the people he gets elected by. So I wanted to ask Leo about that and other matters that are going on in the city council. And he's a very busy guy in the private sector. So we're going to have him here on the phone as opposed to in the studio with us. Good morning, Ward 1 Council Leo Choquette. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, everyone out there. Good to talk to you.
So what's happening, Leo? You're in budget season. Are you going to be able to do anything to save Station 9 on Taunton Hill Road? Give us an update.
Sure. I was up late last week, after one of these council meetings. And my wife is like, oh, aren't you going to come to sleep? It's 12:30. And I'm like, I can't sleep. You know, my heart's racing and I'm stressed out. So I grab my budget book and I go and sit down in my dining room and I just start going through the all the departments again, looking for stuff. And, you know, look, there's several variations of cuts that I came up with, you know, anywhere from $1 million to almost $2.5 million. So I believe that we can save that fire station as far as providing enough money, especially when we couple it with the $500,000 Senator Montigny acquired. But again, the whole question then becomes, will the mayor apply that money to the fire station? Because again, the city council can't force him, you know, to take money by adding money. All we can do is cut from other places, produce, you know, a net, you know, amount and say, hey, here's some extra money we cut out that's now available. And then it becomes, you know, the mayor's responsibility to apply that. So he could technically still say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm still going to close the fire station. But, you know, I went through this budget. There are plenty of things to cut still.
Such right? as, Leo, what are some of the
such
cuts?
As the, all right, well, I will tell you one. The travel budgets for all the departments.
Okay.
I look at it this way. If 30,000 people, you know, can't have fire coverage, then we're not throwing money out to the different departments to go travel around. That's not going to happen. I mean, that is ridiculous. The safety of the people in wards 1 and 2, and quite frankly, the whole city,
right,
and even in other areas like Dartmouth and Acushnet, via mutual aid, mm-hmm, right? The public safety comes first, okay? Before $200,000 worth of travel money to the different departments.
That's how much it is, $200,000?
If you cut out all the travel allowances, right, from all the departments, that gives you about $200,000.
Wow.
Okay? So, again, I'm sorry that some people may have to fund travel out of their own check, but these are not normal times. These are times where we're facing the closure of the Station 9, you know, building. So this is not business as usual, right?
Can you get your colleagues to go along with you on that $200,000 cut, you think? Seems pretty basic to me.
Yeah. All I need is five other counselors. I'm pretty sure that I can get that. I mean, that should be a slam dunk. Okay?
Yes.
I don't understand why anybody would fight that. And when I say cutting in all departments, I'm including the city council's travel budget also. We actually have $8,000 given to us. So we would cut that also.
I don't know, Leo. You could go to Disneyland on that. That might be not. I mean, you, the rest of the council could get to, I don't know, they grant if you guys get to Disneyland, but with all of you, but maybe.
Yeah, no, there's days when I think I'm living in Disneyland, okay? Things are just out of control. You know, the whole situation that we got here is so dysfunctional. I mean, when I met with the mayor, he didn't even tell me he was going to cut Station 9 or that he was considering cutting Station 9, you know? And at this point, he should be including me as the Ward 1 city councilor in a lot of stuff. I never hear from him, okay? Never hear from him, never hear from his people. So if I were the mayor, if the roles were reversed,
yes,
and John Mitchell was the Ward 1 councilor and I was the mayor,
yes,
I'd be calling John Mitchell quite a bit to keep him updated on what's going on, asking for his opinion. None of this is what's happening. Now, New Bedford Fire Department has produced another, I think, over 100 new signs. We want to get these signs out all over the city. Obviously, Wards 1 and 2 are going to be the epicenter of it. But again, this is a citywide problem because think of it as each fire station, and I believe there are six of them that are in operation currently, they're like ships in a fleet. And if you remove one of your big ships, not only does it hurt that immediate area, but the other ships now have to take up the slack. And that affects them too. So it's a chain reaction that affects even people in the South End on the peninsula. And then, of course, by way of potential mutual aid, we wouldn't be able to provide mutual aid to, say, Dartmouth as much or Acushnet as much, right? In reality, we would need their mutual aid to help
yes.
us.
Yes.
So now we're just being selfish. Now we're just taxing our surrounding communities. And not only is that irresponsible, but it makes us look bad. It really does. All this over one fire station.
We're speaking with Leo Schocchetti, he's the Ward 1 City Council. What do those signs say, Leo, and how do people get them?
So there's different variations. I have one that says, Mayor Mitchell is being reckless with your safety. Keep Fire Station 9 open. There's another one that says, don't close Station 9. You know, there's a couple of variations. And so if anybody wants one,
okay,
right, they can either contact, they should probably just contact me. It'd be the quickest way.
How would one do that?
I can give you my number, 508-441-7508. I definitely prefer texts over calling me on the phone, especially
sure,
during the
that.
Work hours.
I get that.
So again, 508-441-7508.
And you're more than happy to have someone deliver those signs to someone's house.
Absolutely. And you know, the firemen have already put out, yesterday they put out, I was told, almost 50 signs really? Around Wards 1 and 2. So they're starting to pop up. You know, what we need to do here,
okay,
is ask the mayor, look, if the city council gives you the money that you need to keep that station open, point blank, are you going to keep it open? And that should be a resounding and quick yes from him. If there's any, you know, any duplicities in the answer, if there's any wishy-washiness, then we know that there are issues here. Now, look, if we do give the money and he still shuts the station down, then, you know, the people will be taking it to the next level. And, you know, this is not going to go away. All that is happening is people are getting more and more angry and more stressed out. And, you know, we got enough problems in this world already. We don't need this affecting the health of the people in the city. Okay? So,
speaking with Leo Schocchetti, he's the Ward 1 city councilor. He's fighting to keep fire coverage, total fire coverage, for his ward. So, Leo, you, the mayor likes to do things with letters. Have you written him a letter asking him to reply to you on his intentions? If you cut the money from other parts of the budget and produce it along with the money for Senator Montigny, will he keep Station 9 open? Have you tried to do that?
No. I could write a letter today.
Yeah.
I suppose. You know, maybe I will. But again, it would be a lot easier if him and I could just talk about it. But, I don't know. Again, if the roles were reversed, I'd be calling him to talk to him and try to, you know, include me in this or include him in this. And, you know,
You identified $200,000, which I think could be easily cut because, as you said, it's a travel budget, including a little bit of pain for the city council by cutting money there as well, about $200,000. That doesn't get you anywhere near where you need to be, but it's a step in the right direction. What other cuts have you identified that you'd be willing to share with us?
Well, there will be a overall contraction of the size of city government as far as, you know, there will be each department, not every department, but I'd say about 60% of them have at least one middle management position that could be removed. And unfortunately, government has grown to the point where we have some redundancy. And now that is the part of the job where it's my responsibility to convince five other individuals on the council that is what's going on. So if you have like an assistant person to the associate comp control, controller of one of the departments, you know, you're an assistant to the associate type thing.
Right.
That's a position that, you know, we could cut.
Have you identified? I know you said you had a late night budget session at your kitchen table, dining room table, and we appreciate that sort of dedication. Have you identified any of these redundancies or as you point out, doubled up positions in city government?
Yeah, I've identified probably 8 to 10 of them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do we have to?
No wonder you have a $32 million deficit.
In order to get to that 1.9 million that we need, we don't necessarily have to cut 8 to 10 people. But there are, you know, there are positions that can be cut. And again, the travel money, Senator Montigny's money. There are several paths to getting the money to save the fire station. The only question is, will the city councilors, will I have five, you know, votes with me, which I'm pretty confident I will. But the big question is, will the mayor apply those monies? So then it becomes the mayor's job to do that. And again, public safety is the most important thing. It is in this city. We have to honor that. So in my opinion, all other considerations are secondary. If there's some middle management cuts, the travel budgets are all cut from all the departments in order to have 30,000 people have adequate fire coverage and adequate response times, that's the price we have to pay. And there's nothing else to say. There really isn't. I've got people, while we're talking right now, people are already texting me asking for signs. So I think there's going to be a big groundswell. You know, I mean, I hope it doesn't get to the point where, you know, we got 100 people on the steps of City Hall with a megaphone. But it may, and it's all up to the mayor.
508-996-0. Find us how you can get on the phone. We're going to continue with Leo here for a moment. Leo, the part of the problem is there's no way to recall anybody. That's been bottled up in the city council. You've been a big supporter, at least verbally here, for the recall.
Yep.
But the other night you voted to table it. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I went out of my way to meet with the mayor. I want to build a bridge between the mayor's office and the city council. And I mean, me being left out of this stuff, and I didn't find out about these closures, about this fire station closure of, you know, Station 9.
Tell people who told you.
I didn't find out about this in there.
Who told you?
Is it okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Chris McCarthy told me. That's how I found out. So I wasn't notified by the mayor or by the mayor's office that Station 9 was going to get cut. I found out from you, Chris. So that is dysfunction in city government if I ever heard of it. Okay? Now, I represent the largest ward in this city, both geographically and population-wise. So to keep me out there and not knowing what's going on, you know...
They're treating you like a mushroom, Leo. They're keeping you in the dark, and they're feeding you excrement.
Yeah, well, this has to stop because, you know, there are a lot of angry people. I mean, I don't know how many times I can say this on the radio, you know, don't do this, Mr. Mayor, don't do this, you know, and stop whipping people up with this. You are causing a huge amount of unnecessary stress for people. This makes no sense at all. You're not going to gain anything by this. You know, you're worried about pension obligations. I get it. But there are other routes that we can use down the road to help lower the impact of what we owe every month or every year. You know, there are, and I'm not going to get into it, but there are other ways to do things that, again, your CFO, I'm sure, must be explaining to you. So blaming everything on the pension and on health care, I get it. But there are ways to rein in costs to some degree, okay, without taking money from people and without taking benefits away from people. Is it easy, quick, and convenient? No, it's a pain to redo the actuarial life on some of these pensions or to look at pension obligation bonds and you know, these other alternative things, but they're there. Okay, but using the fire station as a fulcrum in this argument, that is not what you need to do. People's lives are on the line due to increased response times. And public opinion is very much against closing this fire station, as well as it should be. So I don't know what they're trying to prove. But again, there will be crowds of people outside City Hall at some point eventually if this problem is not dealt with and dealt with soon.
So we're speaking with Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Council. So Leo, getting back to the point on the recall, the mayor put forward the recall both for his office, office, anybody elected official. And the other night you voted along with Shane Burgo to table it. What was your thought process there?
Why should I do favors for the mayor anymore? I went out of my way to work with him to try to get that passed. And then, you know, then he comes out with this, oh, we're going to close Station 9. I don't even need to obviously talk to the councilor because who is he? He's just some peon, apparently. So why am I going to go in and work with the mayor and try to get things done when he's more concerned about getting his way on this issue with the firemen? So, no, I pulled my support.
So, Leo, if that comes up again, though, after you've told my audience, I can't express enough to you that I think a lot of people voted for you because you were in favor of the recall. I think it's a bad move to have any reluctance to put that recall together, because it's not just about this mayor, it's about future mayors. If that comes up in front of you,
we'll re-examine it.
Okay.
Well, we can re-examine it in the future. Once this issue is taken care of and we've restored normalcy to, you know, public safety in the ward and in the North End, then we can absolutely go back and fix it. But I'm not going out of my way to help anybody at City Hall who's not willing to help me and my constituents. So it's a give and a take, and that's how it should be in government.
So you're holding the recall hostage till you get your fire station.
I guess if you want to look at it that way, I mean, hey, you know.
No, I think that's politics.
I don't know if the other city. Yeah, I mean, that's how it works. You got to, you know, John Mitchell is a highly educated and seasoned veteran in this. He's been the mayor for 16 years. So we don't have many cards to play, okay? But, you know, if playing that card helps us to get the station be kept open, then you got to do what you got to do. okay? I mean, really, the city council has very limited power. And anytime we have the ability to, you know, to have a card to use with the mayor, then we're going to have to. You know, I mean, how many times do I have to come on the radio and say, please, Mr. Mayor, don't do this, don't do this. And they just laugh me off, blow me off, whatever. So, I mean, the people demand that this station remains open, and we're going to do what we have to do to keep it open. And again, you know, I'm sure I'll get blamed for this somehow. You know, everybody just, you know, the pension people, they get blamed. The retirement board's getting blamed. The state reps get blamed. City councilors get blamed. But there's never any blame in the corner office. And people aren't stupid. They're starting to see that there's a pattern here. So, again, I hope that when the mayor is on tomorrow, somebody calls in, or maybe even you raise the question to him and say, Mr. Mayor, if the money is produced by the city council in savings from other cuts in the budget to save Station 9, will you apply that money to save Station 9? And we'll know right there, yes or no. And if it's yes, then that's great. And we'll all work together with, you know, and try to get that done. If it's no, then it's going to be a long summer. Well, and that's really all I have to say.
Leo, I appreciate you making time for us this morning. I know you got a busy private sector and you're working hard on the council. Again, one more time, give out your information so people want one of those fire union signs that you're spreading around. How do people get them?
Okay, so just shoot me a text, 508-441-7508. And I, you know, text me your address, and I will make sure that Artie Mello over in the New Bedford Fire Department gets signs put out at your address. And again, we thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank all the residents that are joining to fight this. You know, we have to unify, and we will win this in the end. I believe it's going to be a tough, drawn out battle, but we're going to win this.
Thanks, Leo. Appreciate your time. Thank you, my friend. 508-996-0. What do you think of that? What Leo just had to say. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around. It'll be a pretty short break, so stick around. Call in 508-996-0500. Leo had some fighting words for the mayor. He's got signs. It's crazy. Let's go.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Under my thumb, but knowledge is power for Bristol County seniors. Please join us, including me, at the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors at Whites of Westport on Thursday, July 12th, 9 a.m. until noon. I'll be broadcasting live. Seniors are invited to enjoy a free breakfast. The food is really fantastic. And a resource fair with speakers, giveaways, and important information. It's always a very knowledgeable event. This special free event is presented by Bristol County District Attorney Tom Quinn and Coastline Elderly Services. A special thank you to our platinum sponsors, Anodyne and Eternal Health, and gold sponsors, AARP of Massachusetts, Bristol Elder Services, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, keeping it local, Senior Medicare Patrol, and United Healthcare Community Plan. For questions or to RSVP, please call Brian Rose, former Red Sox pitcher, at the district attorney's office at 508-961-1972. That's 508-961-1972. Seniors, you do not want to miss this event. It's going to be great. 508-996-0500. That's how you can get on the air. We appreciate Leo Choquette. I think he's miscalculating on the recall. I don't think you can have a four-year term for the mayor of New Bedford, for any mayor, really, without an opportunity for the taxpayers to rethink their decision. Certainly the mayor of New Bedford feels that way. That's why he's been putting the recall petition up for a couple of years now, although the city council has found reasons, self-serving reasons, to stonewall it, put it in the ice chest, choke it, leave it in the cradle, die of SIDS. I mean, it's been a horrible way to treat a really necessary ordinance. And I get what Leo is saying, but I wonder if he doesn't realize that in the time that will elapse before the next time he sees it, if maybe, just maybe, it's better to go along with the recall petition and be one of the majority to support it, because it's very necessary and one of the few opportunities, given the way Shane Burgo and Ryan Pereira and others have held it up, although I do believe they support it now, but they've showed a funny way to support it by putting it in a committee and leaving it there to die. Only the other day, I watched the meeting on the 28th when it came forward. Shane Burgo tabled it. I was very surprised to see Leo go along with that. Now, I've talked to other members of the council. They tell me it was because some people had schedules that didn't allow them to be at the meeting and they didn't have the votes. Otherwise, it would have died. So they're going to bring it up in the future. And I think Leo would be wise to join on with what I believe will be a majority of the city councils to remove it from the table and vote it through to completion so that you can have a recall petition. Again, there's a lot of self-serving interests on that city council. This will apply to the city councils, but they have two-year terms and very limited power. One of 11 is basically nothing. And I don't think any one of them are in danger of being recalled. Nor do I think the current mayor of the city is in danger of being recalled. And obviously neither does he. That's why he was willing to put it forward. Or if he is in danger, he figures it wouldn't happen. He could defeat it. But I do think it's really a matter of good government that you have a recall as a taxpayer, as a stockholder in the city of New Bedford, regardless of the fact that the current mayor of the city, due to budgetary reasons, may have to close down a fire station. I think it's still in the interest of the city, with a four-year term for mayor, to have a recall. And all elected officials are subjected to it. So anyway, 508-996-0. I see you on hold. If you want to join the conversation, you can. But I do have to take what will amount to a very short break. Then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Heartbreaker, heartbreaker. She stuck pins right in her heart.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy, or the audience. Make the safe choice this spring with Citywide Glass. Does your windshield have a big crack in your view? Wake up to vandalism overnight because you have no police coverage anymore. Don't stress. Call the pros at Citywide Glass. They can repair or replace your auto glass quickly and safely. And their mobile tech team will come right out to you. Your windshield can be replaced while you're at home, at work, on the job site, or even at a shopping center at no extra charge. Life's busy. Let Citywide Glass make your auto glass repair easy. Citywide Glass, make the safe choice. Visit citywideglass.net. Citywideglass.net. 508-996-05. And we heard a lot of talk from Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Councilor. He's identified around $200,000 in the budget for travel by city employees, including city council members. He's willing to cut it all in the hope that it'll save Station 9. That seems like a reasonable request. And he seems confident he can get five other city councilors to go along with him. So that's interesting. And he says there's a number of maybe 10 to 15 sort of redundant positions. Assistant to the assistant is kind of how he characterized it. I haven't noticed any of those, but he says he identified about 15 to 10, and he certainly has more information about the goings of the city government that he's elected to be a part of than I do. So that's very interesting. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Gilly Sackfield.
Hey, Gilly, what's up?
Well, you know, I wish Leo was there so I could ask him this question, and he just made a good statement you just did. Do you you don't realize it because you said you're doing all of the whole thing, but do you realize the mayor has two chiefs of staff? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
No, that's what I'm saying. Do you realize he has two people as chief of staff on his payroll?
I actually didn't realize that. I thought he had I knew he had a pretty good sized staff, bigger than Lang, but I didn't realize he had two chiefs of staff. No, I did not know that.
He has that. You know what I mean? And I wanted to ask Leo, you know, because he's the one that mentioned that a lot of people have jobs below, you know. Nobody's ever known that he has two chiefs of staff. Why doesn't he cut one of them from his office?
That's a good point. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. Again, Leo Choquette can only do what he can do because he's one, but he seems pretty confident he can get five other city councilors to go along with at least cutting the travel budgets of the different departments. I think that would be a pretty hard one to defend, but I'm certainly willing to hear it, why that is necessary. And he even wanted to share the pain, if it is pain, with his office as well, saying, hey, we'll cut the travel budget for the city council as well. So certainly they're willing to do that. You know, I've heard conversations between and about city councilors. Some of them are even willing, but I don't know if it's a critical majority, to cut their own salary. Cut their own salary. Probably by a nominal amount, more of a symbolic gesture. But in today's climate, in the city of New Bedford, and quite frankly, throughout the region, which are looking to do 2.5 overrides, a symbolic cut, even a symbolic cut, I think it'd be appreciated by the voters, by the taxpayers, who are looking at losing additional police coverage without the addition of new police. Obviously, that'll hurt the future or change the future. The potential of losing a fire station, significant station like Station 9. a symbolic or more than symbolic cut of the paychecks of the city councilors? Is that something you'd support? What about a bigger cut, like them saying we're not going to take health insurance anymore? Not a lot of them do, to be honest with you. I don't believe. For some reason, it's protected by HIPAA. I don't think it should be, but for some reason, they've been able to protect it. Who takes the health insurance? Who doesn't take the health insurance? Is there an opportunity here? Look, I've seen it done in other towns. I'm thinking about the town of Lakeville, where the select board members, or selectmen, whatever term they use over there, were able to take the health insurance. However, if they didn't, they could be given a bonus. So a significant savings for the taxpayer. So these numbers are from my memory, and they are probably not accurate. But let's say at the time, health insurance was $10,000 to the town, right? It would cost $10,000 for every elected official that took health insurance. Again, those numbers are very dated. But if a selectman didn't take the health insurance, they would get an additional $500 in cash, okay, for saving the town on the health insurance. They'd get a little bonus in cash, take-home pay, and that would go across the board to any of the employees. A little bonus in cash if you didn't take the health insurance, which saves the taxpayers a significant amount of money. I'm wondering if something like that for elected officials in the city of New Bedford might be an opportunity here to rethink that whole thing. But I'm just thinking out loud. 508-996-0, like a significant or a symbolic cut in pay or a significant cut, like canceling the opportunity to take health insurance, since I'm not sure a lot of them even really take it. So that could be a significant savings, not only this year, but going forward for the city of New Bedford. Because there's 11 city councilors, and I don't believe all 11 of them, quite frankly, I almost know not all 11 of them take the health insurance option. But there are years when they certainly, a lot of them do, and if that was no longer an option going forward, that would probably, well, I know it would save a significant amount of money, and that's not just symbolic savings. 508-996-0. I got to take a quick break. We'll be back. We're not going to have any guests in the next hour. So if you don't make it through this hour, certainly next hour will be all open phones. But stay on hold. We're going to start, try to make it. Stick around. Welcome back to the program. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Alehouse in downtown New Bedford. Beautiful day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley. I heard from one of my regular listeners and a good friend, Freetown police officer, who says that in the town of Freetown, police officers who do not take the insurance have the option. If you don't take the insurance, they'll give you a $1,500 stipend. So, see, there are different strategies out there for trying to reduce your health care costs. And I'm just saying, maybe it's time with a $32 million deficit for the city council to think about eliminating that option, or doing something maybe a little more symbolic than realistic. So it's entirely up to the men and women of the New Bedford City Council. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. How's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Another day. Hey, I jumped in the car and you were talking about cutting travel expenses.
Yes.
And then you kind of went on to talk about the benefits. And the light bulb went off in my head. And I think I just came up with the best idea I've ever had in my life. You ready for it, Chris?
I am.
So, we could save a fortune in benefits. So we basically have everybody who works for the city of New Bedford, mm-hmm. right, or that qualifies for the benefit,
okay,
identify as a legal alien, and they get benefits for free, Chris. Chris, genius.
Genius. Genius. You've done it. You've solved the fiscal crisis of New Bedford.
Simple solutions, Chris. That's very basic and straightforward. There you go. Everybody has health insurance. We save a bundle. Firehouse stays open. Everybody's safe. I mean, you can't make this up. It don't get much better than that.
I hope Leo is listening. That's the man who can implement this plan.
Take notes.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the humor. Pretty good idea, right? Just identify all the city employees. Quite frankly, I think four of them are as illegal aliens or former illegal aliens. And then maybe more than that, actually. Do any firefighters speak Kichi? If not yet, they ought to. And just identify as illegal aliens, and they'll be on the state. Chris Hendricks will sign them right up. And it's a good plan. That's a thinking man right there. Leo, draw it up. You went to law school. You know how to draw this stuff up. And get it out there. All city employees going forward, including city councilors, will have to identify as illegal aliens, and they'll get free health insurance. So it's not a bad plan to save the fire station. It's not a bad plan at all. And like I said, you got a couple anyway, former illegal aliens that are already city employees. We've debated that in the past, and quite frankly, I lost, and so did America. So anyway, they're still there. 508-996-0500.